Friends, this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 168. I'm recording this on Sunday, March 26, 2006. Thank you for downloading this, and nothing to get a show going like a little bit of cheesy game show music. That is from Match Game.
It's from one of the greatest game shows of the 70s. That's not porn music. I'm sure some of you people are listening to it going, that's porn music. Major's playing porn music. Well, no, he's not. He's actually playing game show music.
All right, GDC this week.
Well, I have a whole laundry list of things to go through, so I want to power through them as quick as I can. Not sure how long this show is going to be. I knew last week's was going to be a long show because I had a couple of few interviews there. But this week is probably going to be significantly shorter. I have a bunch to discuss. I have a nice interview with Chris Satchel coming up a little bit later, and I think I'm going to take some phone calls. So this isn't live, so it's not like you can call in. These are pre-recorded phone calls. Let me just be clear. What am I playing right now? I'm playing Oblivion. A lot of people are really into Oblivion. I'm having fun with it. I'm just kind of walking around the world. I really just haven't gotten into taking some of the quests and whatnot. It's just it's not really my type of game, but it's really beautiful, isn't it? I know a lot of people at the office are playing it and really invested in it. I talked about that last week, all the guys that were stricken with vampiredom. So it's actually a lot of fun. I may, after I record the show today, may go down and play that. Depends what time I get done, because I have to, of course, watch The Sopranos tonight. So this week I went to GDC, the Game Developers Conference, in San Jose, California, which is just a little bit south of San Francisco. And it's, I actually arrived there on Tuesday afternoon, stayed Tuesday night, and then went to a blogger's breakfast Wednesday morning. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. So all in all, GDC was fairly quick for me. Xbox's Trixie, who I work with, does some community work in the, on Xbox.com. She was down there for 3 days. Doing some pretty heavy, hardcore coverage for a few days there, writing some stories and posting them up on Xbox.com. I encourage you to go up and check those out. So the Blogger's Breakfast, I was really in and out for that one particular event. And that was Wednesday morning, and I have some pictures up on my Flickr site. Let me put a link to them. I'll put a link to them on my blog. But the guys that were there were Chris Grant, who writes for Joystick and Xbox 360 Fanboy, Brian Crescente, who works for Kotaku, Joel Johnson, Gizmodo, not to be confused with Gizmondo, but Gizmodo, Steven Glicker, who is Gaming Steve. Steve's always a good friend of the show. And Adam Levine, Gamer Andy. Was really great to see some of these guys. I've met, I believe, before. Gaming Steve and I, of course, met before. Joel Johnson, this is the first time we've met. Brian, we've known each other for a while. And Chris, that was the first time we've met. But it was really good to see these guys and just to put a name with a face. So let me just, I have some of the pictures on my blog or up on Flickr, so you can really get a sense for what the room was like. But what it was is we had Chris Satchel, who I'll have an interview with in just a moment, and Peter Moore sat down with these guys. It was really just a roundtable discussion. There were some PR people. Boy, a lot of PR people in the room. I think the ratio was like 1-1, one blogger for one PR person. And really what I did is I kicked it off and just kind of we all introduced ourselves. And then we just got into it. And these guys could ask Peter Moore and Chris Satchel really anything. And it was a nice, open, frank discussion, and, you know, these guys were pretty hardcore, which is great. You know, they're speaking on behalf of the fans, and we talked about the two different SKUs, the core pack and the Xbox 360. We talked about Japan. We talked about a few other things as well. So it was all in all, it was a lot of fun, and I'm sure you'll see their write-ups on the different sites. So just take a look at those. You know, my job there was really just to step back and kind of be the air traffic controller and help with some of the questioning, but I really didn't really need to do much. It was great. More importantly, it was just great to put a name with a face and see these guys, and you know I'll help these guys out any way I can, and really enjoy working with them and bumping into them in the gaming blogosphere. So that was the Blogger's Breakfast. We were only there for about an hour because right after that we had to rush in, or not we, but they had to rush in for the PlayStation or the Sony keynote. And I want to talk about that for a second because they made some interesting announcements. One of the announcements that they made was around... actually, before I get into that, I want to point out, I don't know if you guys know this, but Sony stopped producing the original PlayStation console this week, the PS1. So that's pretty amazing. That's a milestone. Apparently, they've got 100 million units sold. I mean, that's just extraordinary. So well done there. Really kickstarted this generation. And here's an interesting factoid. It was being produced for 11 years. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Of course, it's impressive, but I don't know if you noticed, but the Atari 2600 actually was the longest running produced console. It was released in 1977 and pulled out, and then they pulled the plug on production in 1991. That's amazing. I mean, if you think about that, I mean, that's just unbelievable. I'm sure that the Atari 2600 was actually being produced longer than maybe some of the listeners of this show have been alive. So that's pretty extraordinary. But anyway, getting back to the Sony keynote, some interesting stuff they announced. I didn't get a lot of major new announcements. Did you guys out of it? One of them was region-free gaming. I'll talk about that in just a second. They talked a lot about the PlayStation Network. They're trying to position it as a platform. So, okay, we'll see how that goes. And then they did show some of their concepts, and some folks did post them up on my blog, of their HUD or their guide, which is what we have. When you press the Xbox 360 button, the guide will slide out. And so they showed some concept art around that. And it certainly looked interesting. So I can see where they got creative inspiration. But, you know, a lot remains to be seen. I'm sure there's a lot that's going to change between now and then. I look forward to seeing what they're going to show at E3. I'm sure they're going to have a couple of bombs they're going to drop at E3, some big things. So we'll see what that is. I want to talk about the region free thing for a second. That's interesting, because technically, as far as I'm getting into an area that I'm a little bit unstable on in terms of all of my knowledge, so I'll just try to venture out there, so feel free to correct me. And I know you will. And technically, the Xbox and the Xbox 360 are region-free. Let me tell you what I mean. For instance, Halo 2, I can play the Japanese version of Halo 2 in my North American Xbox. The only difference is some of the subtitles. So technically, region-free exists already. There's a lot of things to consider when you're thinking about region-free. One of them is localization. So, you know, even if the PS3 is truly region-free and every single game is region-free, does that mean they're going to localize it? So, sure, you may be able to purchase that Japanese game, but, you know, when you pop it in your PS3, are you going to understand it? Assuming, you know, if you can read Japanese, I'm sure you can. But most people over here really don't speak Japanese, or perhaps some other language where the game has been marketed primarily for. So you may not understand it. So region-free really opens up a host of issues around localization. The other one is really regarding the content of the game. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Some particular countries like Germany and France, you cannot show red blood, or you can't show a lot of it. So what they do is they change the blood to purple. So you're going to want to play Grand Theft Auto 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 with purple blood? Maybe you will. I don't know. But that's definitely something to think about, is the games actually are different. You actually, in Germany, if I remember correctly, and I know that some of my German listeners will email me and write me or post on my blog, that you can't show the swastika, the Nazi swastika. So there's a lot of things. So like obviously for Call of Duty 2, where it's everywhere, you know, they had to change that game and modify it to sell that in the you know, in some of these other regions. So region-free gaming, while on the surface sounds pretty good, you really need to dig down and see how it's going to impact the rest of your gameplay and then your daily gameplay for you as a gamer. So I look, you know, that's something to just to be aware of. I'm sure there's some other issues. A lot of people have asked me about that, you know, about the region-free thing. And yeah, sure, it sounds like a great idea, but, you know, I'm curious to see how that's going to get executed. So I look forward to that. I wish them well with that. Looks, you know, will that happen on the Xbox 360? Who knows? I mean, like I said earlier, technically it exists already. It's really up to the publishers and how they want to implement their region coding, region locking, whatever you'd like to prefer to it. So, of course, the other part of it was that we all know that Sony has announced this a couple weeks ago, is they're going to be teaming up with the folks over at the GameSpy Network, and apparently that will be some middleware. So I don't know exactly how that works. And again, I'm getting into kind of a gray area because I'm not that informed about it. I'm just kind of throwing some stuff up against the wall here. So take that for what it's worth. You know, PS3 looks like a fascinating box. I look forward to getting my hands on one. Hopefully we can have some playable demos at E3. Yeah, you can bet your bottom I'll be over there in the PlayStation booth taking a look at that stuff to see how they're progressing. So all in all, the GDC around the PlayStation was actually, there weren't a lot of announcements. I think the Region Free was probably one of the biggest ones. And then this was the first time we've seen their heads up display or their players list and cross game invite. So good luck to that with them. It's you know, we've been developing ours on Xbox for the past 5 years, and it's proves challenging. We've done some really great things over there, so we'll see how they progress along as well. One of the major areas that we also that Microsoft actually announced was regarding XNA. And I talked a lot about that. Let me see if I can scroll down to my XNA information. The XNA, there's a couple things we talked about. XNA Studio was actually available on a DVD for people that were there. But if you couldn't go, I put some links up on my blog that you could actually download the XNA Studio. And then you could also download the full source code of Met Commander 2. So Met Commander 2 is a Microsoft Studios game, PC game. It's actually what a lot of Mech Assault and Mech Assault 2 were built on, or just the concepts. And you can actually download the Met Commander 2 source and pull it into the XNA Studio and kind of see how the game works. And what I want to do now is I want to just jump into this interview with Chris Satchel that I did last week before the Blogger's Breakfast, because he really explains what XNA Studio is all about. So let me go ahead and roll that interview with Chris Satchel. My guest this morning is Mr. Chris Satchel, who's the general manager of the Game Developer Group. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you?
Good.
So we're down here at GDC, and I was able to grab you for a few minutes. I want to talk to you about XNA. That's the big news down here. Tell me what some of the things that we're announcing. I want to hear it out of your own words and what it means to the developers and what it means ultimately to the consumers.
Cool. There's really three big technology announcements we're talking about down here. And XNA represent two of those really big announcements. So the first thing that we're doing, which I'm really happy about, is we're coming back and delivering on a commitment we made last year.
Right.
When we talked about XNA Studio and talked about how in all this sort of context of increasing costs, complexity in modern game development, how we were going to do something about that. So I'm really pleased to announce that we've delivered XNA Build, a community tech preview, to all attendees at GDC.
Right.
And what XNA Build allows you to do is really, it allows you to take all this content you've got from artists, from designers. You know, you've got some of these teams that are at well over 100 people generating content, and bring it all together in a unified way, a way that's repeatable, that's robust. It allows you to build content quickly into the game and iterate fast. And what it really means for consumers is all those content creators are going to spend time on features. They're going to spend time making great content, not wrestling with their process, not waiting for it to finish. Certainly from my perspective, I know from my past, I got a particular experience where I took over a large team and we had to do our next game. And of course, content builder bit me on my last game. We'd wasted lots of time. And so I asked the team, you know, great, let's draw up our content pipeline. And they looked at me like I was a little bit crazy and sort of said, well, okay, yeah, sure. We'll get back to you. And I'm not kidding. 6 weeks later, they got back to me and said, well, here's our thing. It was a huge diagram.
Right.
And I started looking at it, and there were little boxes that said things like, call Paul and tell him to post the spreadsheet. I'm like, well, this doesn't sound like an automated process. And really, that's what we're solving. It's how do people build these things? So it took 6 weeks to draw out our content process. With XNA Build, you can do this visually. You can drag and drop processes, link them together, and be able to have this streamlined process. And when you can do that, it means that you spend your time doing things that delight gamers instead of doing things that require you to sort of wrestle your content into the build.
So actually, I want to ask you, so you just talked about what are some of the titles you worked on that some of the listeners may know?
Some of the titles I've worked on, and I will say these aren't the ones that had this particular problem, some they would know as Rally Sport Challenge franchise, so Rally Sport Challenge 2, Rally Sport Challenge PC,
yep.
Project Gotham Racing 2, Fable, Rise of Nations. So there's some of the more recent ones that people would know.
That sounds fantastic. So it was interesting. I was over yesterday looking at some of the tools.
Yep.
I walked through some of the XNA, the framework and whatnot. That's pretty amazing. I mean, tell the story of the game or the demo that I saw and how that happened.
So you brought up a really great point, which is the XNA framework. And this is something we're incredibly excited about. We've not talked about it up till now.
Yeah.
And what we realized is we had this great technology, and it was solving a problem, which is, well, how do you make development simple? How do you make it so it's cross-platform? So that once you've built it, you can deliver it on Windows or deliver it on the console without having to do lots and lots of porting and spend lots of time. So we were kind of working on this technology with groups across Microsoft about solving this problem. And we got to we were coming out to GDC and thought, well, we can't just talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to show. We've got to show stuff.
Right.
So we actually brought in some members of the development community we know, some of our MVPs and some local game developers, and said, well, here's a really pre-alpha technology. Understand that it's really rough. It's not ready for release. You know, what can you do with it?
Right.
And so probably one of the demos you saw was Culture.
Yes.
Which is an original idea from some people actually have a lot of industry experience. And they said, well, I've got a great idea for a game, but what we want to do is find a development system that can let us do it really quickly and try out our ideas. So we said, well, we might have something you'd be interested in. And we said, there's only one problem. We need to have the full game working across two platforms, and you don't really even have 3 weeks. Oh, and by the way, we didn't tell you, but we're not quite finished with our framework yet.
So everything's moving.
Everything's moving. And the amazing thing was, the programmer, it was one programmer, yep. And when they worked on it, they didn't even know the new language that powers our framework, which is C#. So they had to learn the new language, use a framework that doesn't have any documentation, and they still managed to do an incredible game. Full 3D physics and everything else within 3 weeks on both platforms.
So wait a minute. They went from zero to putting a game on the PC platform and the Xbox 360 platform in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
It would have been more extraordinary if we'd actually written any documentation or had finished our framework.
Right.
And they loved it. They loved the fact. They loved how productive it was.
Right.
They loved how quickly they could get ideas to work. And the other one we did is we took a game that was originally designed for smartphones.
Yep.
And because that's, again, using similar technologies that have been building into the XNA framework, we got that moved to Xbox 360 as well. And then we updated all the graphics. We made it look next generation. Best things, it took less than a day to get it onto Xbox 360 and 2 or 3 days to update the graphics.
So all those – so that being said, one could say, well, look at all these thousands of programs on the on the download sites like Hand & Go. Like on that site, and what you're saying is some of those applications could work on a 360, some of the gaming titles.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
But what really excites me is, you know, I grew up in the UK.
Right.
I grew up.
I can tell that.
Much as I tried to hide it. No, I grew up back in the Spectrum days, in the Commodore 64 and Atari 800, where we always, you know, we were bedroom programmers. We loved to get new ideas out there. And I love the modern games we're doing. There's amazing games for Xbox 360. I was at the event last night. I was playing Ghost Recon. I was playing Oblivion. And these games look incredible. But I also want to enable people like we used to do and say, okay, how can you get a small group of people together, like 2 or 3 people that have got a revolutionary idea?
Yeah.
Because if it always takes, you know, many, many millions of dollars to get a concept out, you lose some of that innovation.
Right.
So we're doing great technologies in the XNA initiative for the top-end guys. XNA framework is starting to see how we can enable all other people in. You know, what's our independent film market for games?
Right.
So when you say about, can you get these games over? You can. But the best thing is, what we really get is lots of new innovation. People that have got amazing ideas that couldn't have got a game out before, they can use the framework and get a game simply and easily on Windows and on Xbox 360.
Yeah, exactly. And not only, and based on that, technically you're saying they could probably even get it over to their pocket PC or their smartphone.
That's definitely the direction we're heading, because we think that's a really interesting market as well.
It was really extraordinary when I was walking around the booth and they were showing me the Culture demo, and I just couldn't get my head around the fact that that was 3 weeks from zero to shipping bits. I mean, shipping, as it were, but it's a demo. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And they had the Xbox and the PC version side by side. And then when I walked around the other side of the demo kiosk, and then you guys, they showed me how the tool works together, the framework that you just talked about. That is amazing. That's going to really impact the industry in a positive way.
We really hope so. We think that this is a major sort of new initiative and really delivering on the real essence of what we talked about 2 years ago at XNA, when we talked about cross-platform development, enabling developers, better tools. These are all things that we've been doing. And I've got a personal belief, which is, when all the dust settles from this show, there's going to be great platform things to talk about. There's going to be amazing games to talk about. But I think in the long term, when programmers look back and they think about, and game developers, when they think about what were the inflection points,
right,
what did they see that really changed up the game, sort of pun semi-intended, when they changed up the game, and I think what they look back and say, XNA framework was the real start of that, was the start of an inflection of how you think about delivering games and how you think about delivering on a console.
One of the things I also want to point out before we get too far away from it is, and I posted this on my blog, is that not only did you put the tools out there for download on Microsoft.com, but one of the coolest things you did is the best way to show how the tools work, you provided the source code for Met Commander 2. Yeah. That's amazing.
I've seen some blogs on that, and people are a little surprised. But what better way to actually get enough things in people's hands? They can try out the build system and, you know, the new thing from XNA Studio and see the power of it. And also, you know, again, we're really like, how do you give back to the community? How do you get people excited about game development and let them try out new ideas? We said, hey, why don't we give out the code? Let people really play with it.
Yeah, because that's what's really neat is I was noticing, I was doing the same thing. I was reading some blogs. People are going to download it. And it's one thing to play the game, but then to walk around the other side of the curtain and see how things are working on the back end, it's kind of cool. And then that will spark ideas with some of these smaller developers and the larger ones, I'm sure, as well, that, wow, maybe we can try this or maybe we can try that. That's so you're really unleashing a lot of creativity here.
That's really what we're trying to do. We're super passionate about how do we get, you know, the next generation of great ideas, and how do we add that to the amazing games we're already seeing and sort of provide that opportunity across Microsoft platforms so you've got the best development environments and then a really broad spectrum of platforms to deliver to.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about that for a minute. So you said you worked on a bunch of different projects. So is it safe to say that all the different projects you worked on, there were different processes?
Absolutely.
And so this may help that.
I would have loved to have had this tool. I absolutely would love to have this tool. With XNA Build, it really solves a problem that isn't well known, especially to consumers or people that sort of follow game development. But if you work on a big game team, one of the critical things you have to do is get your content build process, because the better it is, the faster all your artists and designers can iterate on new ideas. But often, you know, you don't have time to invest in a great big tool yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, and it's not sexy technology for a lot of people. It's not the cool thing that game players get to see. But that's fine.
Right.
That's where we should come in,
right.
Step up and do something that can enable people. Build on really robust Microsoft technologies like MS Build. Add on new innovations that we see across the company, because as you know,
yeah,
we have lots of cool R&D going on inside. And then bring that to game developers and say, look, here's something that can solve a fundamental problem for you and help your game development process in a way that's meaningful that we know you probably will never have time to focus on yourself.
One thing I did know is that I've heard that you have shown this to a couple developers, and some of the developers, and I don't want to say who they are, but they've said that they didn't realize how inefficient their processes were.
Yeah.
Which to me speaks volumes. Oh, wait a minute, we're not being very efficient. There's so much goodness that comes out of that. Games will be developed faster and all the other pieces around it.
Absolutely. I mean, we work with some developers and actually help them chart their build process to really help us understand the complexity they were facing. And it was really funny because when we came back and showed them, they were like, oh, yeah, we didn't quite realize it had got that bad. do you have anything that can help us?
Yeah.
And of course,
right here. Yeah, we've got all sorts of neat stuff working on that. What are some of the things that excite you beyond the XNA Studio within the coming years around game development? And clearly, this is a watershed moment. You know, we're building this amazing foundation.
Well, there's another thing that we've done recently that isn't an announcement here at GDC, but we're incredibly excited about what it can mean for game developers and what it can mean for games on Microsoft platforms. And that's we've brought together the Windows side of the business and the Xbox side of the business. So now, from my group, we have a unified set of sort of people and engagement for both platforms. Now, this is a major headache removed for game developers. This means that, you know, when it comes to support, it comes to engagement, it comes to direction, it's now the same for Xbox and Windows. Now, over the next year, we really start to work on that unification and make sure we have the same technology roadmaps, the same tools. We align our processes. And what that means, again, is as a developer, you've got the very best development platforms, and now they're proceeding together. So you've got much more opportunity to spend your time developing the game,
right,
and less opportunity and less time worrying about other platforms. That's really kind of fundamental to how we're working. And what excites me about it is the kind of, to use an overused term, the synergy we're going to see in the game development community,
yep,
where developers think, okay, well, now I've got this really aligned set of platforms. I can do some new things. I can do games that I couldn't do before. And that's what really excites me. I think, wow, I see what people have now. I know how we're working with the development community. You add in the XNA branded tools that you're seeing now, XNA Framework, XNA Build. You add in things that we're doing in the XNA initiative, like aligning our technology platforms, aligning our roadmaps, and then you think, wow, I give developers like a year, 18 months on that. The games that people are going to come back with, you know, this year, next year, are just going to blow us away. And I think we're going to see new innovation and just new levels of quality because people are spending their time on the games and
right,
the content. not with the technology.
Not trying to figure things out on the back end that people, that the consumers don't really care about.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was also told, and I want to talk to you about this, was the game, the demo that we saw yesterday, The Culture.
Yeah.
That the code is essentially the same.
Yep.
For like 90% or some ridiculous amount. Is that true?
Yeah, it's actually about 99% the same.
Wow.
I think if we were beyond pre-alpha in our framework,
sure,
we could get that to 100%. And that's, as you said, a fundamental difference,
yeah,
from what we've seen before. And that's our goal. What we want people to do is build their game, then hit the retarget button.
Right.
Not build their game and spend ages building the game again for another
platform. So it's not like, you know, just to bring it to layman's terms, it's not like you're building a game for the Xbox 360 and then there's a PC version that's running in emulation mode of like an Xbox or vice versa. These are really completely two native code bases.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to look at it?
Yeah, it's what we've done is we've brought what we think is probably our most productive game programming language. It's not one that's well used yet, but we brought C# to the Xbox 360.
Right.
And what we hear from developers is, this is so much more productive than C++.
And is that what they're using today?
That's what we used in... So C++ is what programmers use today. It's
right.
A great language. We have great compilers for it and great technology around it. But we realized that C# is an advancement on that. It makes
right.
a lot of things much easier. So we brought that to Xbox 360 so we could start to get that unification with Windows. Then we looked at, let's make a framework of cross-platform components on top that make it easy to get to both platforms with a unified way of doing it. And so now you have a very productive language. You have a framework that means you don't have to worry about each platform.
Yep.
And now you spend your time building the game, not worrying about how you're going to target different delivery platforms.
Before I let you go, I also heard an interesting story that some game developers, when they come out with a game, they have to worry about that when you port it over to maybe the PlayStation or some other, or maybe a phone, that they have to do a ton of work.
Yep.
And that's really what the XNA is about. Let's be clear. We're not providing tools to port your game over to PS3.
We're not.
We're not. But what I'm saying is that the game developers, when they wanted to bring a game to another platform, there was a ton of work to do. Even on a mobile phone, I guess there was all these different iterations.
Yep.
It was crazy. I mean, I'd pull my hair out.
Yeah, and that's where we're heading. We, as we said, for the release we're showing, well, not release, but what we're showing people today,
right?
Because it's obviously way pre-release, is for Windows and Xbox 360.
Right.
We're going to look at, you know, what does it mean to support smartphone properly in the future? That's a really growing platform. Obviously, mobile gaming is a growing industry. I will say with the build tools, just like our compilers get used to develop for nearly every system out there,
right?
XNA build's actually the same. There's nothing stopping you using it as your content process
right.
for other platforms. But obviously, on our platforms, we can link it to the platform
right.
in ways.
We can do it. We can make it bring it to the next level.
Which is hard for us to do because obviously we're not licensed developers on other
right.
platforms. And so you've hit the nail on the head, though. The idea is, how do we make people spend as much time as possible on being creative and as little time as possible on wrestling with, you know, platform eccentricities?
So it would be remiss I ask all of my guests, do you want to say what your gamer tag is?
My gamer tag is Barbarian.
Barbarian. So you're gonna get inundated with requests after this goes live. What are you playing right now that you're excited about? Or do you not have any time?
I've got to admit, building up to GDC, it was really, really tough to get time. I'm constantly upset that I have copies of Grawl and Oblivion. And I
they're
have
staring
them,
at you.
And every night before GDC, I'd go home and I'd see my copy of Grawl and it'd be like, no, can't get to you tonight.
Yeah.
Burnout Revenge is what I've been playing. I love racing games. I've
right.
worked on quite a few.
The clips in that are amazing, isn't it? How you can
cool.
share clips.
And that's actually, you know, that's something else we're talking about GDC, is our live server platform.
Yes.
And obviously, live server platform is something that enabled the spectator mode in Project Gotham 3, but also there's very similar technology is what EA's using to do Gamer Clips and do the Rivals mode.
Right.
I was at the press event last night and got to play Burnout 3 for another half hour,
yeah.
which I enjoyed. So sorry, Burnout Revenge, that's probably my favorite game of the moment.
So people are going to be looking for you to be their rival when they're playing Burnout when they go on live.
Yeah, I need to practice some, otherwise I'm going to be an easy target.
So that's good. Chris, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to run, but thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, I figured the best thing to do to talk about XNA would be to get the man who knows all about it, as opposed to me fumbling around trying to explain it. Let's go right to the source, and that's something I like to do. Also, all those tools that he mentioned, I will put links on my blog. You can actually go up and download both the source code as well as the source code to Mech Commander 2, as well as the actual as well as the XNA Studio. So that's kind of cool. Let's pop over to my notes here and take a look. Actually, there's been some questions. This week we had some pretty good content coming out of the marketplace. Let me talk about that for a second. We have the Ghost Recon. There's a CrossCon video up, which is kind of a community video. I haven't even looked at it yet. There's an Oblivion trailer, a Blazing Angels demo. I'm sure you want to get that. Xbox Live Arcade, they released Astro Pop this week. And then earlier in the week, we released Burnout Revenge demo. So those are some demos. Now, there's been a lot of questions as to why certain parts of the world, specifically like France, don't get demos. And this goes kind of what I was talking to a little bit earlier. There could be any number of reasons, one of which could be they don't have rights to that intellectual property in that country. One could be they don't have it localized, and maybe certain countries legally you have to localize and have available in multiple languages. Or I talked about this earlier, maybe they need to have... maybe it's showing too much blood. There's a lot of different reasons why content is not available in other markets. Maybe the game that there's a demo for or something like that, maybe it's not even available in that area. Who knows? So there's a lot of different reasons. It's not like we sit back in our offices or the publisher sits back and scratches their head and go, let's see. We're not going to have it available in France. Yeah, let's not have it available in France this week. That's not the way it works. It's really, obviously, when you're coming up with demos or any type of content, you want to make it available to as many people as possible. So it's really, there's legal issues, pretty much legal issues are the pat answer when somebody says, why isn't this available someplace? You can pretty much say, well, there's a legal issue. And that could be anything, like I said, from perhaps the publisher doesn't have the intellectual property for that area, or perhaps there's excessive blood or excessive violence that violates the ratings or the ratings for that particular country. So keep that in mind when you see people blabbering, why isn't this available here, or why isn't that available here, or we want that, or we want that. There's a reason for it, and most likely it's legal, so or business-wise. So keep that in mind. Let's see what else we have here. Welcome to Australia and New Zealand. They shipped this week. You can now go down to Australia and New Zealand and purchase an Xbox 360. So I want to welcome my friends. I hate saying down under, but I will do it to be cliche. My friends from down under, welcome aboard. I know I have a lot of listeners to this show down there, so I want to welcome you guys. Speaking of that, I during the blogger's breakfast, I was going to record the blogger's breakfast, but I didn't want to do that because I would have had to set up microphones and I didn't want these guys to think it was like a press conference. We wanted it to be more casual, but I think next time I may, if they'll let me, they'll record it. But one of the questions that came up was, about availability of the Xbox 360. And Peter Moore actually was talking about this, and there was a press release that went out a couple weeks ago, I believe. Actually, they're going to be getting a lot easier to come across, to the point of Peter Moore said that you're going to be able to walk into the store sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and you're going to be able to pick one up. So keep that in mind. If you have a friend who's interested in it, the Xbox 360, then probably now over the next month or so would be a good time to bring him or her into the store, and you can purchase one. So that's cool. Also, Scott Henson, who's a good friend of the show, did an interview over at where did he do that? Kikizo, KIKIZO.com, and it's an interview with Scott. I believe it's a video interview where he talks about a bunch of different things. He sent me a link to it. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but he talks about talks about XNA build, some of the stuff that happened at GDC. Obviously, this was recorded before GDC. He talks about XNA, which is really kind of cool. He talked about the HD era, how the HD sweet spot is 720p and 1080i, and the Scott Henson money quote is 1080p is basically impossible. So Scott, hopefully you're right. We'll see. We don't know. He also talked a little bit about the Blu-ray drives and the combo and the HD DVD and all that kind of stuff. So you should probably go over there and listen to that, the Scott Henson interview. Scott is in charge of our used to be called the Advanced Technology Group. I don't know. I think they're the gaming group now, but you should probably, go listen to that. You know what, let's go ahead and take some calls. I haven't taken calls in a while, so these are calls that came into my landline. So if you're interested in leaving me a message, you can go ahead and do that at area code 425-705-MAJOR, 425-705-MAJOR. On Skype, my username is Major Nelson. But let's go ahead and slide in a couple of calls right now.
What's going on, Major? This is Hope for Chaos, St. Louis. Been calling you a little bit, but... I was on the forums and saw that Carnage got his 33.7 million high score now, and he said he officially retired. So I was just wondering if you get an interview with this guy, you know, maybe over the phone or over the, you know, just have a little interview on there with him, because I know you had an interview with Stryker, who was the who's a top guy. But I think Karn just had it for a long time, and I think he's going to keep having it because second guy, Code Cat or something like that, he ain't even beat his own score. So I think it'd be a good idea. So hope we can see that. Thanks. Bye.
So that's a great call. Thanks for the call there. Yeah, you know, I'd love to get Carnage on. So for those of you who don't know, Carnage is, they're talking about Geometry Wars. Carnage is the top guy in Geometry Wars, and Stryker, who is on the Xbox Live team for a very brief time at the beginning when we launched, had the top spot, and it has since, I think he's in like, maybe he may not even be in the top 10 anymore. But I'd love to get Carnage on, and I know that I was talking with Stryker. He and I had lunch earlier this week, and he said that Stryker just, did retire, as the caller said, but also he said that it's he and Stryker have chatted a few times. Carnage and Stryker have chatted a few times, and he says that there's a certain level where Stryker told me this, where it just gets easy. You know, you just kind of boom, it just gets pretty easy. So it's almost like you get to the top of the mountain and it plateaus. So I'll see if I can get Stryker, or excuse me, Carnage on. Carnage, if you want to get on the air, please email me major@xbox.com. I'd love to get you on. All right, let's go to the next call.
Hi, Major. This is Gamertag Tomcats, and I just had a quick question. First of all, I want to say a great show you have. The quick question is when and if there would be some more integration with the Xbox Live service to, say, our friends list. That is my question, and thank you, and keep up the good work.
Well, that's a great question. So I assume you're talking about Xbox Live, the service, your friends list, and perhaps Xbox.com. Well, really soon. Really, really soon. We've got some really cool stuff planned. That's all I can say. Really soon.
Hi, Major. This is Insane Bastard, calling from Sweden. I'd just like to thank you for your little chat that you had in your last podcast. I think it's great that you took the time, although I do think that it won't change anything. You will still get a lot of annoying kids who, thrash your blog and whatnot. Just hope that you keep up the good work, because as you probably already know, there are thousands of people who really appreciate what you're doing, so please don't let those annoying people bug you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thanks for that vote of confidence. For those of you who don't know what it's talking about, a couple of weeks ago, I did I had a little heart-to-heart chat with some of our listeners. A lot of kids, young kids, you know, maybe it's not even kids, but there's a lot of immature comments on my blog, and it's a little disheartening. But I appreciate that. I know there's a lot of people that don't respond in the terms of the comments, but do appreciate what I'm trying to do here and what I'm, you know, the dialogue I'm trying to have. So I appreciate that. So thank you so much for that call. Let's go on to the next one.
Hey, Major. This is Sean Gamertag Sawman. I just had a couple quick questions for you. One, how did you get in the industry you are? I'm 18 years old male, going to go to school for graphic design. I was wondering if you had any tips for me about what to do, where to go, because I love technology. I love 360. I love everything about it. I just wondered, you know, what it takes to get to where you are and how to get maybe even possibly working for Microsoft in the next 10 years for me. But anyway, just hit me back up and Game Tech Saw, man. Keep up the good work, man. Love the blog. All right, later.
Well, Sawman, that's a tough question. There's no one road that will lead you where you need to go. But obviously, you're making the right choice in terms of you going to school for graphic design. That's definitely one way to do it. Assuming that's where you have your area of interest and passion. But that's the most important thing that I want to share with you, is whatever you do, you have to be passionate about it. You have to love it. It's not a job. It's a hobby almost. And I'm very lucky in terms of I'm able to work in an area that I'm actually, it's a hobby to me. You know, I don't think of, like, when I get up in the morning, oh, I got to go to work. It's like, I got to go to work today. What are we going to do? It's not even work. It's fun to me. So that's the most important thing, is do what you love and the money will follow. That's the most important thing. All right, let's go on to the next call.
Hi, Major. My question is, where did your name come from? Can you give us the derivation or how you came up with it? I'm sure that there is something behind where Major Nelson came from, since your name is Larry Herbeck. Scott from Los Angeles, gamertag, my nose. It's M-I, sorry, M-Y space N-O-F-E space K-N-O-W-S.
Well, Scott, I'm not sure what your full gamer tag is because you kind of got cut off there. I actually get this question quite frequently, and I will answer it now because I haven't answered it for a few months. My gamer tag, Major Nelson, comes from the campy 60s TV sitcom I Dream of Jeannie. I've been working at Microsoft for a little over 5 years now, and a few years ago when I was offered the job at the Xbox organization, my manager and I were chatting. He says, well, we want you to go out and talk to the community and come up with these great ideas for the live service and so forth. So obviously, you're going to need a gamer tag. And to be clear, I have a gamer tag. I was in the beta, but it just I didn't want to share it. I won't tell you what that is, but I do have a couple of private gamer tags. So I was looking for one that I could really communicate with people, that people would come to get to know. And what happened was, is I came home one night, or after I chatted with him, and I was sitting down, and my TiVo had recommended I Dream of Jeannie. So I looked at this, I remember this show when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, and I looked at the show, and I was like, wow, that's kind of a cool show. Here's a guy who's an astronaut, and he's living on the beach, and he's single and cool, and he's got this, pretty hot chick. So, all right, Major Nelson, enough said. So there you go. That's the answer. All right, next call.
Hey, Major, it's Xbox Evo again. It would help if I left you a phone number. It's 4456. You can also, send me a message on the 360 to Xbox Evo. I tried to send you a friend invite, but it said your list was full. And I'm also really into the outfit right now, so I was hoping to grab you because I don't have Marble Blast, and I know that you invited people to join with you on that, but I do have for right now, the demo of the outfit, and I plan on getting the full version soon. So, anyway, thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, here's the deal. I can't return your phone call, so please don't call me up and leave your phone numbers. Also, if you want to get in touch with me and my friends list is full, I do clear it off about once a week. I go through and take off the people that have not played on Xbox Live the longest, which is pretty apparent when you look at the friends list when they haven't played for 30 or 40 days, then boom, they're gone. So feel free to send me a message. You can actually send me a message on the Xbox Live, on the Xbox 360. I don't have to be on your friends list. You can just pull up send message, type in Major Nelson, record a message, and bam, send it. So when you call me, please don't leave your phone number. All right. That's a public service announcement. That's this week's public service announcement. Next caller.
Hey, Major Nelson, what's up? This is John, Gamertag, Hope for Chaos in St. Louis, Missouri. I gave you a call last week about ads, people getting ads on their Xbox 360 dashboards, even if they're under 18, but if they weren't and they became 18, they still don't have them yet. But this week, I'm wondering about like Geometry War content as far as gamer picks and themes. I noticed like the Hexic and another game got like themes and gamer picks for them. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about Geometry Wars getting gamer picks or downloadable themes. All right, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks for the call. There's actually, I don't know of any Geometry Wars content coming out in terms of themes or gamer pictures, but basically I'm almost the last to know right before I tell you guys. I see what's coming out and, maybe a few days before, and when it gets up on the service, that's when I post. So, I don't. The original, you said you called in again, and I don't remember hearing that, but I got a lot of phone calls that I went through. A lot of people have asked me, sometimes they're not getting ads in there or the promotional spots, the banners and whatnot on their Xbox 360 on the console, and they don't know why. Here's a little hint. Go in and check your parental settings and make sure that show that content is shown, because otherwise it'll just serve up these generic ones, and it won't show you what's going on with that. So that's a little tip for you. All right, I think we have one more call.
Oh, hey, Major Nelson. Yeah, I saw that you were playing on Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, and, I just want to know if that game is fun, guy. My EB game is going tomorrow, but I have it pre-ordered at Game Crazy, so, Wednesdays. I don't want to wait that long, so please can tell me how it is. Or can you send me one? I'll pay you $60 in curry. Yep, these drugs are bad for you in curry. He's so lucky. You get the game first. Yeah, I'm waiting. waiting here and like, yeah, you, that's a ripoff because you get on the leaderboard first than everyone else. So the game didn't come out yet. And you can play multiplayer and get on first. This one. Wonder why you weren't playing it by now. I mean, it's a fun game. I would play it right now. Hell yeah, I would just quit my job and fucking play it all night. Well, yeah. I always come to the website. It's pretty cool. The outfit demo, yeah, that was okay. Did you figure out what the update was for on the Smash TV, King Kong, and Madden NFL 6? Yeah, I got those updates, but I don't know what they do. Man, I really want to play Ghost Recon and Advanced Warfighter. And you know how lucky you are. I'm all the way in Arizona Phoenix. I believe I nailed you. Yeah. I'm 13 years old. Brr. I want Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. I want it, Dick. Someone's got to do it now. You're so cool. You're like my idol, man. I'm just gonna skip school just to get that game, man. Yeah, help me out, dude. I want that. See you later, man. Yeah, call me back. You can have a chat. Yeah, my gamer tag is BlackHawk623.
Don't know what to make about that, my friend. First of all, when you call me, make sure you have your thoughts together. That's probably the easiest thing to do, is make sure you understand what you want to say and you're not rambling on. As I said in an earlier call, I'm not going to call you back. I just don't have the time to call each one of our members and callers and listeners back. I'm sorry about that. And parents, make sure you know what your kids are doing. All right. Actually, I do have one more call.
Hey, Major, what's up?
We're doing a group project for English.
Yeah.
So have fun, Major. See ya.
Thank you. I will. You know, it's calls like the past two calls that make me long for the days of King Solomon calling me back. Anyway, all right, that's all the calls that I have today. I received many more calls, but those are probably some of the best. Some of them, when you call up, they're just too long, or I can't hear you, or a combination, or frankly, it's a stream of profanity, and I can't put it on. So I apologize if your call didn't get on, but if you'd like to call me, you can always call me at area code 425-705-MAJOR. You can Skype me at Major Nelson. That line, both lines are just voicemails only, by the way. Just to be clear, and we're gonna head towards the home stretch of the show here, and we are gonna do Name the Game. So let's play the sound effect from last week's Name the Game. All right, a lot of you got that correct. That was, of course, Crystal Quest. Congratulations to everybody who sent me a correct entry for that one. But as you know, I take all of the correct entries, put them into a random drawing, and pull out one winner. And this week's winner is the gamertag Skater Chief. Skater Chief, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset, which means it's time for a brand new Name the Game. So here's the Name the Game clip for this week. All right, if you think you know what Xbox or Xbox 360 that game is from, then drop me an email, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put name the game, colon, and then your guess. And then in the body of the email, please put your gamer tag if you have one. I'll take all the correct answers. I will put them into a drawing, random drawing for the prize. And next week is actually a really special prize. It is a limited edition accessories case. It's a cool metal, like, looks like a little Halliburton case that we're going to be giving away, or that I'm going to be giving away. You can't even buy these in the store, and it comes with some cool accessories in it. And I got that from the accessories team, so thank you very much to those guys. So you probably want to make sure that you enter this week, so good luck on that. Let's see. Oh, one more thing before I go. We're going to wrap up the show right now, but this gentleman sent me a message over Xbox Live. His gamer tag is Knuckles Dawson, and Knuckles claims that he has gotten an achievement every single day since the Xbox 360 launch November 22nd. So apparently this guy, Knuckles, wakes up in the morning and says, I need to get an achievement today. And then he goes and gets an achievement. And then he goes to sleep, wakes up the next day, and starts over again. So Knuckles Dawson, congratulations on that. That certainly was an interesting achievement. I don't really have any way of verifying it. I guess I can go through and see the dates that you got them and so forth. But that's kind of cool. So check out Knuckles Dawson's gamer card, and I'll put a link up on my blog for that. And you can check out what he's been doing since November 22nd. So all right, we're gonna wrap this thing up right now. So why don't you go ahead and fasten your seatbelts, and I will try to land this thing. Thank you for downloading my show. For the complete Major Nelson experience, check out the blog at majornelson.com. Also, don't forget, if you need a secure and assured hosting environment, check out my good friends at Centricom, and they'll hook you up with a nice deal like they hooked me up. So make sure you do that. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying have fun, play fair. I'll talk to you next week, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye. All right, so this is the after show where I kind of get to talk about anything I want. See what I can talk about. Look forward to seeing what the PS3 has to offer. You know, it's great to have them in the online space. I welcome them. You know, Microsoft's been there for 4+ years developing online gaming in that space. I look forward to seeing what the folks at PlayStation will do there. So that's cool. I want to talk about these. A friend of mine, one of my friends from college, my very good friends from college many years ago, now works at the Timberland Company. And he sent me these Major Nelson Xbox boots, which are just unbelievable. I'll put a photo of them up on my blog when I get a chance. They're black with Timberland, and says Timberland across the back in Xbox green. The inside is Xbox Live orange, and then the tongue of the boot says XBX. I don't know why it doesn't say Xbox. Maybe they could only put 3 in there. And there's this cool, like, little leather tag that says MN for Major Nelson. So he's sent me those, and I'll put a photo of them up on my blog or my Flickr site. And if I forget, I'm sure you guys will remember. So I just thought those were really cool. I'll put a photo of those up there. So let's see what else. Hey, you know what I'm listening to for music that I think you guys will really like? And I urge you to go check it out. There's an album from the 60s, a long time ago. Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass, and it's whipped cream and other delights. And people in the office who are listening to this will know this, but I urge you to go listen to this. This is actually it's a remix. So the album is called Whipped Cream and Other Delights Rewhipped, because the original album was called Whipped Cream and Other Delights. But this album is a remix of all the different, of all the exact same album, just every single cut in order is remixed by these famous, I think the Chemical Brothers are on here maybe, and a few others, but it's really interesting. But more importantly, the album cover has one of the hottest models I have ever seen. So if you get a chance, go into a record store, listen to this great album. I'm really enjoying it. But more importantly, look at the album cover and what she's wearing. I think you'll get a kick out of that. What else? You guys are always listening for cool information that maybe I can give you a heads up on. So here's my heads up. I kind of talked about this in the middle of the show. Maybe some of you picked up on it. Maybe some of you did not. But you may want to keep an eye on Xbox.com this week, because I think there's going to be an interesting, we're going to be rolling something out that I think you guys may like. All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.